Time for our weekly Tuesday chat with the Hall of Fame player. He's now a skills coach for many players on an individual basis around the NHL. Adam Oates joins us once again. Oates, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Jace. How are you, bud?
Oh, I'm excellent. Lots to discuss today. I want to start first off with Sidney Crosby and just the we shouldn't be surprised by the return of him. He's now top five in scoring. He has 22 points in his last 11 games, 44 in his last 33. And he is, I don't know if maybe he was a little irked that he didn't get named to the All-Star team, but either way, he is playing like one of the league's best.
Yeah, no question. Something's changed, right? You know, the first thing that comes to mind is they didn't make a coaching change. And since then, obviously, it's been jump-started. Not that you want to blame anybody, but, you know, that is a circumstance. And, you know what, I really do think that he was in a little bit of a slump to start the year. And, you know, you would never think that these guys at this caliber get in one, but I think he was. And he's figured some things out. He's obviously playing with a lot more confidence. And he definitely looks like, you know, I watched a couple of games. I watched their game against Florida the other night where they came back late. And I really felt like he was really determined and was really winning a lot of battles, not to be a cliche, but more than I've seen him, you know, go in and engage and win and stronger on the puck and making plays. And he seemed to be more of his fiery old self.
You talk about a slump, Adam. You are a highly offensive player. I'm sure you even went through it. And a lot of people think, well, how can these guys, you know, Crosby, who had 900 points in his first 677 games, how could a guy like that go through? But confidence, it can be such a fleeting thing, even for the great offensive players of the game.
Yeah, and you know what? People who never got points in their life don't really kind of understand what a guy goes through. But believe it or not, even a guy of that caliber, he could get a point a night, and it still doesn't feel right. And before you know it, you are second-guessing yourself. The other thing I would say is, you know, their power play last year, I think, was two or three in the league. And they started the first 15 games where, like, they were the bottom of the pile. So when you think about it, over 20 games, there's 20 points right there for the guy. So just that alone, your numbers are not adding up, and people are talking about you. And believe it, you know, it does get to you. You try and fight through it. But until things start rolling, you know what? It's a part of our game, and everybody goes through it, and it looks like it's behind him now.
Now, he's been, you know, even more hot since Malkin went out. And it's funny, when Crosby was injured with the concussions, Malkin went on a tear. And, you know, these two guys have shown the ability that when the other one goes down, they can elevate their play even more. How come?
Well, I think that's a healthy competition within. You know, when they won the Cup, they both fed off each other and they both led the team. But there's no question that within their own group, they want to be known as the best guy. And you're talking about two superstars butting heads within. You guys in Edmonton had it with Gretzky, Mets, very similar. And, you know, I think when Crosby's been hurt, Malkin's taken the team on his back and shown everybody that he's a star too. And then you saw this weekend, I think Sid got like 6 or 7 points in two games without Malkin, and it's his show. But I think for them to win, they do need both guys.
Adam Oates joins us. Now, Adam, we've talked a little bit about sticks in the past. I want to talk about it a little bit more today. And even when you played it, and you were a guy who's kind of jokingly said, man, you know, you tweaked with your sticks all the time. When you look back on your career, should you have done something different at a time with your stick?
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, it's easy in hindsight, but as I got older, you know, you get more finicky, more paranoid, and I was just, you know, you're fighting your feel all the time, and whether it's injuries, you know, by when you play for a while, you do have a few, and your feels are not quite the same, and maybe confidence and all the little factors, and before you know it, you're changing your blade, you lie a little bit, and I would say that in hindsight, looking back, because, you know, I do have a little bit of a collection of my old sticks that I wish I would have stayed with this particular one and not let me go off the rails, so to speak. But you know what? You didn't have anybody back then that could help you with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's fair. So today's play, I want to talk about, you know, your stick and how it can, like, what's the key to a stick for guys who work on the boards a lot?
You know what? I still think that your lie, your length, and your curve it's not just on the boards, it's everywhere. I was speaking to a bunch of coaches in Toronto last week, and, you know, I'm trying to come up with different ways all the time to explain it. And I use this analogy of, you know, we all grew up where someone in one of your buddies had a pool table in their basement. And we all used to go over to the house, and there was always one wall where there wasn't quite enough room. So you had to, like, lift the cue up a little bit, and it didn't feel right. Or the guy had a designated short cue in there, and you always hated that feeling because, you know, you got handcuffed a little bit. And, you know, most of the coaches in there kind of obviously grew up the same way, so they're all laughing. And, yeah, we've all felt that feeling. And when you go towards the boards, your stick has to work for you. You can't get jammed. So as that puck, whether it's on edge or not, or it's bouncing, you're getting closer and closer to the boards. You have to, your stick has to work. You know, it has to be the right length so that you don't get jammed. It doesn't lift up. The amount of blade that you have on the ice picks up the puck. And these are all the little things that you constantly have to work on.
Is that something that part of it, to get that right feel, do you need to put yourself in the situation and have somebody watch over time to say, okay, you know what, I'm noticing a tendency. Every time we put the puck around and you're in a battle, your stick, as you mentioned, maybe too much of the tip is on the ice, not enough of the heel and the blade, so the puck's going underneath it, or it's too long, thus it's jamming you. Like, how do you find out if you have the proper length?
You know, you're right. I mean, it comes from someone watching, someone with a little bit of expertise that knows, you know, figuring out for yourself. I know that playing with Brett, I remember when his dad, Bobby, came to town, we talked about stuff like that, and the sticks used to be a little square than they are now. Now they're a little bit more rockered, and Bobby made me shave under my toe because when you're in your normal posture skating, you don't use that part of the blade anyway. But then as I get closer to the boards, and I do start to get jammed, I can, you know, now that I put my blade down where I shaved, I had a flat spot. And, of course, that allowed me to pass to his son better, so I think that's why he did it. But, you know what, you look at all the blades now, they have a little rocker. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, so in a sense, the guy has two lives to his stick, not just one. And it's for all these different angles. You know, like when you reach out for a puck, can you scoop it up? Can you collect the puck well? Can you stab it? You know, I watch every single night in our league, and you see guys fumble the puck, don't handle a pass, make a bad pass, all these little skills that, you know what, equal possessions, time, success. And, you know what, even in the NHL, there's still so much room to grow.
Adam Oates joins us, a Hall of Famer and a current skills coach. You talked about the double lie for some players. Now, if you're a guy who's a shooter, maybe more than a passer, do you think that your blade and your stick should reflect that? Should there be a significant difference?
You know what? If a guy's, let's say, a one-timer guy, I would say it's a little different. But, I mean, marginal. I mean, defenseman, marginal, too. I mean, you look at Eric Carlson's stick, I would recommend that stick to every guy. Dustin Byfuglien, same stick, for sure. Patrick Kane, absolutely. They're fundamentals. I mean, you look at Patrick Kane handling the puck. I mean, come on, can anybody dispute that? The guy handles it forehand, backhand, picks it up fast. His shootout move, how he goes from backhand to forehand, and his head's up the whole entire time. I mean, that's the stick you want. And if you look at almost every single half wall guy, almost in time, that's the curve they had.
It's interesting, you know, the stick and working on sticks, because, you know, we've talked to a lot of players and we kind of joke about, oh yeah, I have no idea what my lie is. I have no, you know, you measure it properly. And is there more of a focus on it now? Like, you talk to players, like you, and I know you deal with a lot of NHL guys, but you also have done workshops with young players. Is this generation of kids more educated about their stick, or is there still overall a lack of understanding for most hockey people when it comes to the use of their stick?
I would say that they're actually less educated now, and it's not their fault. You know, we got to grow up with wood sticks, so we got to play on the street. They weren't as expensive, although my dad might disagree with me, but, you know, I got to play on the street, and I got to figure these things out all the time. The composite, it's more for the ice. The kids, you know, it's more for, you know, it's a very expensive. You go to the store, it's not quite that easy. It's really difficult to change them. You know, you and I grew up with that plastic blade that we could heat up on the stove and we could go out on the street in one minute, right?
Yeah.
these kids don't have that luxury. So we learned all those innate skills very fast. The composite has changed that for sure. You know what? The kids shoot it much better than we did. No question about that. They shoot it earlier. But the problem is now they're not learning to stick handle and pass as well as we did because they can't shoot so good. We couldn't shoot it, so we had to learn the other skills. And these are all the little innate skills that they're not quite picking up the same way we had the luxury of with the wood versus the composite. I think that's a big difference.
Now, Adam, we're entering the final third of the season, almost at the final quarter of the season, and fatigue does take a factor in. I know certain guys, you know, Gretzky, different players would cut their sticks down at different times. When fatigue comes in late in the year, is that when, you know, you shorten your stick, and does it change much for the playoffs?
You know, it's a good question, and it would be fun to ask Gretz that kind of stuff, because I always remember him speaking that way. And, you know, like I said, we all got paranoid. We're all finicky. I think second half of the year, your feels are so good that, I mean, you know when your stick's just a fraction off. And you know when you're a fraction off. And you know, with our skates, the blades, I mean, it is amazing. But we are in the NHL where a guy could change his blade, and just the difference in the amount of steel made the guy's feel wrong. So now you're asking your equipment manager to make sure that when you replace a blade, it's matching the other blade's width and dimensions perfect. And, you know, guys got finicky. I know Mark Messier was absolutely crazy about his skates. He would get his blade changed almost every period in New York.
Really?
Because, you know, you're looking for that feel. And you know what? When you're out there, if you don't have it, I mean, in our game, you feel naked out there. And that's a lousy feel.
Adam Oates joins us. When do you think it can be, like, did it ever become a distraction for you? Can you worry too much about your stick feel?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and that's where, you know, looking back, it's like, come on, it's crazy, you know. It's like, you get fanatical. I mean, in baseball, they talk about how the shortstops in baseball never change their glove their whole career. They just get new pieces of leather and they add it to the glove. They fix the holes. But that's how they're so in tune with the bounces off the turf, right? Well, we're the same. And then as I got older, I got crazy about it with the sticks to a point, you know, you're obsessed about it and you get a new batch in and they feel wrong and you're losing your mind. I mean, it's one of those things that I think is, you know, I know coaching Jágr last year, he's doing the same thing with his sticks. He's tweaking them every second of every day.
A few other quick ones on the games now. Moving into it, we talked about Sidney Crosby, and he, of course, is on the way up. Florida continues to roll near the top, as does the Washington Capitals. But one team that, you know, the St. Louis Blues, Pietrangelo is now injured. When, you know, we talked a lot about sticks, but defensemen who can play 20 to 25 minutes, Adam, and I know you're a forward, but you're also a coach, and the importance of those guys and how hard they are to replace. And today, Toronto trades Phaneuf, and some people say, well, down the road, he's not worth the contract, maybe he isn't, but he's a proven top four defenseman. What do you make of that trade, especially because the GM is a guy that you used to have in New Jersey, who the word rebuild was almost a fine if you used it when you were in New Jersey.
Yeah, you weren't allowed to use that word in New Jersey, that's for sure. You know what? I think that's a trade that is good for both teams. I really do. I think Ottawa gets a legitimate top four defenseman, somebody who plays physical. You know, Eric Carlson's their main man, so Dion doesn't have to be the main man, but I think he'd be a great compliment for him. He does bring physical. He's also left-handed, and Carlson's right. So I think that's a good fit. And I think, you know what, length of contract, I still think he can play a long time. Maybe a little bit at the end, but I don't think that's really the issue. And Toronto gets rid of a contract because right now they're not in a position to try and win, if you will. So I think it makes sense for them as well.
What do you think Phaneuf will add to Ottawa?
I think it's the physicality, and you know he lays it on the line every night. And I think he doesn't have to be the man. And I think at this stage in his career and who he is, I think that's good. And I think right now he will compliment Carlson because, you know, Eric Carlson's a pretty reckless defenseman. He's an offensive guy. And to have kind of a steady at home, good, solid partner, I think would be good. And Dion can play a lot of minutes. We've seen him do that. And you know what? I think they've got a very fast team. and I think it's a tough building to play in. So I think it's a good move for them.